Hey, it's Matt here, and if you're wondering what is going on, well, this is what I'd like to call episode Kalevin.
He used to call it a Kalevin. He told Dwight, a mistake plus Kalevin gets you home by 7. He was home by 4:45 that day.
So what this episode is just a bonus Christmas present for you all. In my way of announcing that, Comedy Night Podcasted Right is coming back, but with a new format. I went out and found myself some new co-hosts, Gus and Sam, and I wanted to give them a chance to introduce themselves to you. And basically, we just got into an hour-long conversation about these four shows and about TV in general. So I just wanted to share this with you, the audience, before we get into the real new episodes, which will be starting back up in January. Just a few small notes as you're listening. There are some Office spoilers for Season 7 around 18-minute mark. And some Parks and Rec spoilers for Season 3 around the 36-minute mark. If you haven't watched through these shows, you've been warned. Also, you may have noticed there is an explicit tag on this episode. And there probably will be explicit tags going forward. Where this has moved from me reading off a script into conversations, I tend to swear a little bit more often, so sorry, Mom, but that's hopefully you're not listening. So without further ado, let's get into the episode, and I'm very happy to introduce you to my new co-hosts, Gus and Sam. Hope you enjoy.
Before we cut our cords and streaming was years away, we could only binge our old DVDs, and seasons didn't last one day. But how did we cope? A weekly wait was such a tease. With the 2-hour block of shows we could endure with ease. On every Thursday we tune into NBC. Travel to Dunder Mifflin, Greendale, TGS, and Barney. They stopped calling it must-see, but it was still a beautiful sight. Now I'm talking Comedy Night, and it's Podcasted Right.
Welcome to Comedy Night, Podcasted Right. I am your host, Matt Kale, and for the first time ever, I am joined by two very special co-hosts. I'm changing things up.
We need to come up with one realistic thing that we could do today.
Assemble a sales team, a dream team.
I'd like to introduce you to my dream team, Sam and Gus. Say hello.
All right. I am Sam. I live on the east coast of Canada with my husband and two rescue beagles, one of whom is named Michael Scott, often referred to as Prison Mike. I work at a software company as a project admin, but I'm hopefully going to be transitioning to HR soon. But don't worry, I'm more of a Holly and less of a Toby. And the reason I'm here is because I answer random Reddit threads because my mom never taught me not to talk to strangers. But I'm pretty grateful for that because here we are, and you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Wayne Gretzky, Michael Scott. Michael.
Nice.
Awesome.
So I'm Gustavo. I go by variations of that, either Gus or Goose. Gustavo is another one. It's whatever anyone's comfortable with, really. Born and raised in LA. That's where I'm currently residing. I'll be in Northern California later this month, I guess. And fluent in Spanish, currently working in the medical field. And I mean, I entered the random Reddit thread because I figured I was like, well, can't hurt. And I was a little bored and lonely. And I was, yeah, let's go for it. What's the worst that can happen, you know?
Might make two new friends.
Exactly.
I've answered a few random Reddit threads. They never seem to go anywhere. But I'm sure both of you probably thought this was going nowhere because it took me forever to get back to you. But I appreciate your patience and me getting my shit together. Yeah,
you responded a lot quicker than the Nigerian prince. Yeah. I'm still waiting to hear back from him.
He's got all my money. Few thoughts I had after hearing all that. I love that you quoted, Sam, the you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
I have that framed in my house.
You do?
It's in the other room, but I have that framed of him like this.
And it's one of those infamous, it's like, it's not actually a quote. It's just, it's written on the wall and he never says it out loud. It's something my wife says all the time too. And I was like, yeah, he never actually says it. It, I think the best thing I can compare it to is there's a scene in Borat where it's at the end of the movie and he's trying to find Azamat or whatever the guy's name is. And there's this guy dressed up as a skeleton. And Borat says to him in, I don't know what, it's not Kazakhstani, like it's whatever language he's actually speaking. He says something and the subtitle is, fuck off, Death. It's just like, I say that in so many situations and I'm like, it's not an actual quote from the movie. I don't even know how he says it. It's just, but the subtitle is just, fuck off, well, Death.
That's good.
Yeah. And then, so Gus, so you've just, you know, had I had my shit together, we had worked, started on this earlier, you would have been, much closer to us out here on the east coast of Canada, and then now you're in California. Yes. So X-ray tech, I wanted to ask, what's the weirdest thing you've ever caught on an X-ray that isn't medically sad?
You know what, I haven't really caught anything strange. I mean, I've seen some stuff on Reddit, people putting stuff up their anus, you know. I've seen people post that on Reddit. Yeah, exactly. But luckily, I haven't caught anything like that yet. Just a tons of broken bones. But nothing out of the ordinary. You know, I've seen some random stuff on Reddit, you know, like the radiology page. And it's weird stuff, man.
People are weird.
Yeah. Yep. Do you think they ever pulled their accountant in and asked, you know, I'm going for a colonoscopy. Is there anything I can do to make it more comfortable for me, for the doctor?
A safe word.
In the episode where they're roasting Michael, like when Oscar's just going off on him, is that like, I'm assuming Oscar Nunez is a fluent Spanish speaker. Like, is that, do you remember that episode very well? Like, do you know what
I'm saying? Yeah, I remember the episode because my girlfriend and I recently have been kind of binging on The Office, and we were passing through that episode, you know, where he wants to kind of like liven things up. So he wants to get roasted, and we kind of skipped it because it's a cringe episode. It's bad. It's just, you know, like what the other episode, Scott's Tots. We'd never watch that one either because it's the worst. But the Spanish that he uses it's legit. He's actually roasting him in Spanish. But he's going rapid fire, so it's hard to pick up. But yeah, he's legit roasting him on that.
You should translate that for us someday.
All right, I'm going to listen to the episode for you guys and like translate it.
Yeah.
But it's so cringe. We can't watch it. So we just skipped over it yesterday.
Oh, I love the cringe. It fires me up. I watch a lot of shows now too that are pretty cringy. Like it's just one of my favorite forms of humor. I had to do Scott's Tots a few episodes back. I say a few episodes. It's been like 8 months since I recorded that episode. I watched it like 3 times in a row just to get ready for the episode. And I was like, yeah, people are weak. And then, Sam, you're going into, you want to go into HR.
I do. Well, my background is in restaurant management. So I learned pretty recently that I really like working with people. I just really hate working with the public. The public sucks, but yeah. People I like people. So I kind of thought about it and I think HR would be like a pretty good fit for me. And, my company seems to think so too. So
no, that's awesome. Oh yeah. More Holly, less Toby. And I mean, I watched these shows before I ever had to deal with HR and I was like, man, why are they so mean to Toby? Like, why does everyone hate HR? Then I got a job and I was like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've met Toby's, I've met Holly's. It's a pretty even mix. Actually, there's one guy works at HR at my company, and I won't go into much more detail other than our theory about him is that he's such an HR liability that he realized that he needs to become the head of HR himself just
to keep the target off his own back.
Exactly.
Over the summer, I decided to whip this place into shape. I'm going to be a mean, lean, deaning machine. No more paintball, no more spaceships, no more trampolines, and no more... What's that?
It's probably the monkey that lives in the vents.
So anyone who's a live listener and has been waiting anxiously since July for new episodes, and if you're wondering how I've spent my hiatus, or if you're binge listening in the future and you just don't give a shit at all, if you're wondering what happened, why the format change, just briefly to talk about it a bit, I kind of cut things off in July. I was getting super burned out. I spent, in the old format, I was putting the shows out every 2 weeks. I was spending like 40 hours a week getting an episode ready. And yeah, it's there's no other thing to call it other than burnout. And I got into kind of the next set of episodes and I was like, I can't do this. So I was like, I figured it'd be, you know, maybe a month or two, at least take the summer, try to enjoy it. Start picking away at a few other podcasting projects I want to get into, answering Reddit threads, but nothing really got off the ground. So from there, I kind of just let things languish for a while. And then I went back, I found it in my inbox as I was emailing both of you the link to the Zoom. It was an invoice from Buzzsprout for hosting the podcast. And it's like, invoice for another month of podcast hosting. It's like, well, shit, I should probably start putting out some podcasts if I'm going to keep paying for this service. So I knew I wanted to do a format change for sustainability purposes, because doing that, while I enjoyed it at the start, it was just too time consuming. So I was going to go two routes. Either I was going to go really heavily researched, like really serialized from what I was doing before, just try to do it as much more long form, get really deep into it, research heavy, which I'm weird and probably would have enjoyed that. But at the same time, I was like, you know what? Or I could open it up for discussion format and bring people on instead. And kind of where I was stuck is that I don't know anyone who watches all four of these shows. And even the other podcasters who I've been making friends with in the past couple months, if you're listening to this, you know, you've also told me I don't watch all four shows. So I needed to find people who actually enjoyed it. And I was seeing all these Reddit posts every now and then and people saying, like, oh yeah, I liked all four of these. And I was just like, A, listen to my show, and B, I think that's what I need to go to is just finding strangers. So yeah, so I can't figure out exactly what day I posted it. I think it was on Halloween, judging by when we started talking. But yeah, I threw out a post on Reddit looking for people who liked these four shows, and was very, you know, you two are the only people who responded, but you were super into it. So that was super exciting. So what I'm hoping for now as we move forward, I mean, you're in more discussion based, and I think that's kind of what people want in podcasts. It'll be a little bit easier now for people to go back and listen to it. And one thing I've noticed too is a lot of people say, you know, when they discover a podcast, they listen to the newest one. And then sometimes I'll listen backwards, or I'm not like that. I listen to the first one and I listen to like the first couple and decide from there. So I don't know, like you're both have some podcasting experience. How do you guys listen to new podcasts?
I would say I usually go to the first few episodes first. I usually look through and find like the first one that piques my interest and then kind of make the decision. But it is good to go to the newest one, because then you know, what the end goal of your hours of listening. So let's say I kind of go both ways. Yeah,
I do the same thing. I normally listen to the first episode to see if I like their setup, and then like I've started listening to Behind the Bastards, so I'll just kind of pull up episodes randomly, you know, because he covers different stuff, but I always go to the first one, and then from there I'll backtrack to see if I find anything else that's interesting. Mm-hmm. And usually if I go to the first episode, the sound quality is a little bit different, their setup is a little bit different, so it's, you know, it's good to hear the development, I guess.
Yeah, I kind of do a bit of both. Like I've started at the start and then I'll hop to like the latest one. I'm like, you know, does this issue ever get fixed? And it's like, oh, at some point in the better yet, future it got much better. And then I hop back. But yeah, I was just kind of the mind that people just start at the start and listen through.
Sometimes when you start at the newest episode, they have all their like inside jokes and all of these like bits that they do that as a new viewer or a new listener, you don't understand. So you kind of need the history behind all of these. I found that with a few podcasts, like I was like, I don't know what they're talking about. Like, this is not what the episode title is about. So, or like, when are they going to get to the information that is mm-hmm. in their title? So yeah, starting from the beginning is sometimes beneficial.
Yeah, some people are psychopaths and just listen backwards. I'm sorry, listener who's listening to this and then is going to move backwards. I would highly recommend you go back to the start and just listen in order whenever you jump in. Yeah. So I feel like as episodes went on too, because of my mindset of like, oh, people would binge through this. I've definitely also quit a podcast because it's like, you're making the same damn joke you do every single week. I can't listen to this again. I'm done. I'm out. But luckily, I think what'll kind of work here as we move forward is, you know, I've only done 8 episodes. There's a limited amount we're going to get through. So hopefully people won't get sick of us. Fingers crossed. awkward transition into the next segment.
Think of all the shared experiences television has provided for us. From the moon landing to the Golden Girls finale. From Walter Cronkite denouncing Vietnam to Oprah pulling that trash bag of fat out in a wagon. From the glory and the pageantry of the Summer Olympics to the less fun Winter Olympics. So please, don't tell me I don't have a dream, sir. I am living my dream.
I picked that quote for several reasons. One, I never
inspiring realized... as hell.
It's inspiring as hell for how much I love television. I don't. One thing I've learned while doing this is how much background music is always playing in 30 Rock. Like mm-hmm. where The Office is a mockumentary, Parks is a mockumentary, Community is not as bad, but like 30 Rock just has orchestral score going on the whole time. Mm-hmm. And then I found a few other things relevant, like a few episodes back. You'll get there, listener, as you've listened through the episodes. I spent 5 or 10 minutes just making fun of Oprah, and I didn't even bring up the trash bag of fat. And also, that's from season 1 of 30 Rock, and like they love making fun of the Winter Olympics. And for the time frame of the show we're going to be talking about, the Winter Olympics will become relevant. So as you're binging through in correct order in about 5 or 6 episodes, this will become pointful. But yeah, they fucking hated the Winter Olympics. And I don't know.
I've noticed a few things that 30 Rock has done kind of to poke fun at NBC and like mm-hmm. TV networks in general.
Yeah. And so. It's like a running gag for them too throughout the whole series, where they have just a running joke on some little subtle knocks at people, or like you said, NBC. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, and I mean that's definitely something I picked up on too as I was coming up. As I kind of had the idea for this show, and then I was rewatching 30 Rock was the last one I rewatched before I started, and I was like, man, like they really go after NBC the whole time. So that's really how it shaped kind of a lot of the side story I tell about outside of these shows as they air is just crazy shit was going on at NBC, and obviously reflecting the show, and they did not mind taking shots at the network. So that being said, I'd bring it up in the very first episode, I think it's called episode 0, how I got into these shows. I got into them basically watch The Office, and then by watching NBC, I kind of just naturally progressed into the other shows. I want to talk a bit or ask both of you how you got into all 4 of these shows. Gus, your notes are here first. Let's start.
Yeah. What's it called? You know, I got into the shows because I really like Steve Carell, Amy Poehler, and Tina Fey. Always been fans of them. You know, Steve Carell's a 40-year-old virgin, and Tina Fey, Amy Poehler because of SNL. And so that's why I gravitated towards the shows. The Office, you always heard great things about them. I watched them for a while. Then Parks and Rec came out, and 30 Rock. And I stayed on the shows, and I've constantly repeated the shows, like, you know, just ran through them again. I just like the humor, some of the relationships in the shows, you know, like Jim and Pam and Michael and Holly. I also like the dynamics between Amy Poehler's character and Nick Offerman's, and the relationship between, you know, Tina Fey's character and Alec Baldwin as well. And there's a lot of character growth that you notice, you know. It's subtle, yes, they're always making jokes, but there's a lot of growth in the characters. And there's a couple tearjerker moments, like when Michael proposes to Holly. That's huge, you know, or intimate moments, like when between, like the relationship between Dwight and Pam. It's very subtle stuff, you know. They develop a good friendship towards the end of the show. So it's like little things like that. And I can have it on the background just while I'm doing other stuff. I don't get distracted. It's pleasing, I guess.
Yeah, I like how you brought up it was kind of Steve Carell in 40-year-old version, that and liking him from that. That's I go one step back is I had seen some of his older stuff before and never really knew who he was, but then Anchorman came out. And I don't know, if people haven't seen Anchorman, just watch it for Steve Carell, because every line he says is absolutely ridiculous and steals the scene every time. So yep. That was something I had watched, like on my first year of university, I watched that movie 10, 20 times, and it was just constantly quoting everything he says. When I first saw The Office and I was like, Steve Carell is like my sweet brick. I love it. So you were you watching them as they aired, or did you kind of binge watch them afterwards?
The Office, I started watching them. Maybe I would be behind like a couple episodes, but I was watching them as they were releasing.
Okay.
Same with 30 Rock. I'd be a season behind, and Parks and Rec. But then I just kind of got busy with stuff and I had to binge them once they popped up on like Netflix, or I would stream it illegally, I guess, with torrents.
I miss torrents.
I know. They're the best.
Yeah, that copy of Anchorman I had was like, it was a camcorder copy from from inside a movie theater. It was pretty high quality for camera, but it was, there's parts of that movie that I only know the theatrical release version of it, and I have it on DVD, or I watch it on streaming, and I'm like, yeah, these aren't the best jokes. Like, that original version I watch is so much better. Torrenting, how I miss you. Sam, how about you? What's your journey with these amazing shows?
I've been a longtime fan of all four shows. I think my first favorite was 30 Rock, from like the teeny tiny blink and you'll miss it humor to just like my general love of Tina Fey. And then The Office is probably my number one comfort show, as it is for many people. Like you said, it's on in the background. But one of my favorite office related memories was when the staff bought me the world's best boss mug when our patio restaurant closed for the season. So that like linked it with my heart. And fun fact, I have never lost an office bar trivia. I've won probably about four. And like killed it every time.
Do you have a go-to trivia team name?
Oh, we've had a few. We've had Sarah Kaya comes in. We try to go for the ones that aren't obvious. Like, we're not going to name ourselves Scott's Tots or Scrantonicity. I can't remember what my most recent one was, but there was girls at the table beside us, and their name was Ignorant Sluts. Ignorant Slut. But they like owned it, and I loved that. Yeah, I thought that was pretty good.
Nice.
Then as far as Parks and Rec, they were both shows that I didn't catch right away, but I heard the hype and I'm glad I watched them. But for all four of them together, like I said, when I was a restaurant manager, I had always loved like thinking about what my management style was, and No Word of Lie always said that I'm 25% Michael Scott, 25% Liz Lemon, 25% Leslie Knope, and 25% Dean Pelton. So this is like destiny.
It's approximately 2/7 of what I really am. that's a fucking mix right there.
Yep.
I don't even know how to unpack that one.
my Dean Pelton is like my love of like pageantry. My Leslie Knope is like my eagerness to do good. My Michael Scott is like my need to be like loved. And my Liz Lemon is just like the apathetic like part of me. Like, oh, everyone is an idiot kind of thing. So add those all together and you get me.
Nerds. That's wow. That's That's pretty good self-assessment. I mean, that's, I'm glad you're both 30 Rock fans, because it's actually probably like ranking the four shows is 30 Rock is probably last place for me, in all honesty. For me, it's Office and Community are like number one and number A. Like they're just, I can't decide between the two of them, which one I enjoy more. I think I probably bring up The Office a lot. I've definitely seen The Office a lot more. And then probably just more people are aware. Like it's now, I mean, it's just the most popular show in the world. So, I mean, people know what you're talking about now. Community is still a little bit more niche, but I was the kind of like, I'll just put on a random episode and just put it in the background. And then, yeah, Parks and Recreation isn't, I've seen it just a few more times in 30 Rock. And I think I hadn't realized I hadn't watched 30 Rock in so many years until it was really when all the stuff was going on in 2020 about them removing episodes. I was like, man, I don't think I've seen that in a while. I went back and watched it, and it's so dense that I just,
people love to say that 30 Rock is underrated, but it's gotten like 10 Golden Globes and like Emmys and but people still consider it underrated.
Yeah, I would say it's got it had huge critical acclaim while it was on, and it got a lot of it was winning awards those first three seasons. I think all won best Emmy, if I'm not mistaken, and Tina Fey and Alec Baldwin, I think Tim Conway won an award for like special guest performance. So critics, what I've noticed actually going through season four is definitely is when the critics stopped liking it. And I think, and then that's the point too. Modern Family came out and kind of dethroned it as the Emmy darling. So, I mean, Gus, kind of where we know what Sam's character split is. What characters in the show do you see yourself as?
I would say more of like a Jim and Andy type mix, you know.
Andrew Bernard or Andy Dwyer?
Andrew Bernard, yes. Andrew Bernard. And yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess Jim and Andrew Bernard and yes. I haven't watched much of Community. Nice. You know, the Nard Dog. But yeah, I mean, I can relate to those characters, I think, a little bit more. I think I'm a mix of those. Got a serious side to myself, and I like to burst out in song every now and then.
We'll save that. We'll save that for a future episode.
Yes.
Yeah. Me personally, it's I don't know. Yeah, I definitely saw myself as the Jim when I was in before I started working, and then even a little bit like his whole. It's been my experience. If you go in there and half-ass a job, that's all you really need to do. Like that's definitely been kind of my professional standpoint for a while. But I really, out of all of them, it's I really identify with Abed because I turn everything into a television reference. So it's I think in movie quotes, I really get into how shows are made, how the story's told. So I was doing some leadership training, and I got asked once, like, you know, what do you do in your free time? And I was like, oh, I watch movies. And then I take every story I've ever heard, and I was just like, that's just like this episode of that, and that's just like this episode of that. And I was in a training session where, like 10 minutes before that, the boss of the company, his son was in the group. He was telling a story about how his father and his uncle, one of them cut the other one's leg while they were mowing grass or something when they were kids, and his father still got the scar. And you know, they're both pretty important people in our company. And I was, the whole time he's telling the story, I'm just thinking of Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story. And it's like he cuts his brother that. Yeah. So I'm telling that story to this whole group of like young professionals in my company. I was like, you're telling that story, and I'm just thinking, the wrong son died. I gotta laugh. It was a bold choice. Oh shit,
you were talking about I forgot his name now. Michael Scott.
Steve Carell.
There you go. Sorry, just drew a blank. But Steve Carell also had he would come out on The Daily Show he was like a
correspondent,
one of the reporters, the correspondent. Yeah, so that's kind of the first time that I would see him, and then he came out on the Bruce Almighty as well. So I liked him. I mean, I liked the characters he would come up with, and I think that's why I was drawn into The Office too.
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, I had seen Bruce Almighty, and it wasn't until like going back and watching it afterwards, it was like, oh shit, that's Steve Carell. Yeah, so it's Daily Show. I'll bring it up in a bit, but he did have a few voice roles on Saturday Night Live too. So I mean, he was around for sure. It's The Office was kind of the start of his break, and then 40-Year-Old Virgin came out, and that's just kind of where his career blew up. So
had he already started The Office before he filmed 40-Year-Old Virgin? Was that after season 2 or 3 that he filmed that?
It's between 1 and 2. So he and that's kind of why he looked so different at the start of season 2, was that he had to lose a bunch of weight for 40-Year-Old Virgin. So they kind of filmed in between that gap. And it's really how The Office, I mean, they bring it up in a lot of the podcasts and the book that have been written about it, but the first season of The Office was not that well received. It was, people were still comparing it to the British Office. And then so they were kind of on the fence about it. And then 40-Year-Old Virgin came out, like #1 movie in America. And then NBC was like, oh, okay, let's give him we got the hottest star under contract. Let's get this a few more episodes. And they talk about it like that second season, they were basically like 5 episodes at a time until they got to about halfway through. And then it was the damn kids in their iPods helped take it off. But
And he got hair plugs too, I think. Steve Carell, because his hair changes from season 1 to 2. I don't know.
Yeah, season 1 hair is bad.
Yeah, then 2 is just like, what happened? Like, it looks good.
What I've heard is, and maybe it's him trying to cover up for it too, is that he didn't get hair plugs, but like they purposefully made his hair look as bad as possible. So they put him in like a too tight shirt, really made his hair look bad. Like,
oh,
because it's slick right back, but then kind of future seasons, it's kind of combed off to the side. So they were trying, I mean, they were really going after kind of make him
Ricky Gervais.
Yeah, like make him like repugnant, like the way David Brent was.
I see. I've only seen a couple episodes of the UK version, and it's kind of rough. I mean, I didn't really get into it, but
yeah, you said you didn't like cringe humor, and it's
I can only take small doses of it, you know. It's sometimes I feel so bad. It's like I can't do this anymore.
I watched as a test before I started any of this. I watched all the pilots, and then I recorded myself talking about it just to see how they went. And I decided to watch the American pilot and the British pilot back to back, because I've always thought, I was like, people say they remade it. I'm like, no, they use bits and pieces. I'm like, no, it is a straight, like, they had to cut it down a little bit because British television, they can go for a bit longer than 22 minutes, but it's like beat for beat. Like they Americanized some jokes, but it's very identical. And then coincidentally, I'm super pissed because I was like, hey, I'm going to rewatch The British Office. And I decided like the other day, the last show I was watching, I got through it and I was like, British Office. Now they took it off Netflix. So I have to find it somewhere else someday. But yeah, it's I really enjoy. They went on and made a show called Extras after that. Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant, and also as cringy. I don't know. I find it a better show than the original British Office. But not a lot of people. It's not well known. I own it on DVD. Like, it's hard to find. I don't see it on any streaming, but
there's the most amazing scene from that show with Liam Neeson. And like, me and my husband quote it all the time. And I haven't even seen all the episodes, but I've seen that scene so many times because it's so funny. Because it's Liam Neeson like being really serious, and that he's auditioning for something. And they're like, okay, like you're like a grocery store clerk. And he like turns everything really serious, and he's like, I have cancer. And like, oh, it's so funny. It's very like, because it's him playing himself.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. someone finds that on YouTube, like, go check it out.
Yeah, there's a brilliant scene too where he's going to work for Sir Ian McKellen, and Ian McKellen is breaking down how to be a good actor, and he's just like, I embody Gandalf the Grey, and but I'd have to think, what would Gandalf say? But I don't have to worry because they gave me a page and it's all the things Gandalf would say. And then it's like, well, maybe I need to think where Gandalf needs to stand. Well, no, they've put an X on the ground, so that's where Gandalf would stand. And he just like completely tears apart acting as a profession in general. And it's a guy who's gotten a knighthood because of how good of an actor he is, just like taking a shit on the entire profession.
And like performs like Shakespearean plays. Like he's one of like the most well-known Shakespearean actors of this generation.
Yeah. If you could find extras, I mean, if you love any of these shows, you will love extras. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
I've seen a couple, I think, YouTube clips somewhere floating around on Reddit. And I think it was Liam Neeson that I saw. And he's just being super serious about something. I remember watching it. It was memorable because I was like, oh, this is pretty funny. But I didn't know it was from that show, Extras.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I had to check it out.
There's like Ben Stiller does a bit where he's talking about how great of a movie Dodgeball is. And they built it with layers, which... he's not wrong. You watch Dodgeball more than once, you pick up on new jokes every time. And then David Bowie writing a song off the top of his head about how Ricky Gervais is a sad little fat man. it is amazing. Hot tips from Comedy Night Podcast and Right on other great shows to watch. All right, anything else, or we'll jump on.
Ron, Chris Traeger, feelings update. I'm now feeling that your guests are getting a little antsy.
Fine, I'll skip a few steps and speed things up.
Yes, everyone's getting a little antsy, wondering where the hell this is going. I highly encourage you, if you're listening to this episode, go back and listen to the first, I think there's 8 or 9 out there now. You can follow through what I did solo. I've gone through basically the time frame we're looking at where all these shows were airing at the same time. It's the first season of Community, the second season of Parks and Rec, the sixth season of The Office, the fourth season of 30 Rock. Something I definitely learned while doing this project is like, definitely wasn't the golden era of any of these shows. I do really love season one of Community, but like most people don't enjoy Parks and Rec before, especially while Brian Danowitz was still there.
No, that's after season three, right? When they introduce Rob Lowe and...
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we got a lot more Brian Danowitz to get through. 30 Rock was a bit on the decline. I'd say The Office was, Steve Carell was still there, but probably also on the decline too, from what I consider some of the best episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still really fun watching all four together and just seeing how they interact. So the last episode I did covered December 10th, 2009. Was each series Christmas episode. So the next episode we'll be covering the three of us together. It's January 14th, 2010. So look forward to Community's Investigative Journalism, Parks and Recreation's The Setup. They actually didn't have any new Office that night. They did a double shot of 30 Rock with Klaus and Greta in Black Light Attack. This was actually, as I was planning it out, I was like, you know what? I'm probably going to skip the nights where they didn't have all four. But there's a few more times we'll see it through the season where there's a double shot of an episode. The delivery on The Office. There's another 30 Rock double where I think they preempted Parks and Rec. So, you know, let's just go through them all. Also, Investigative Journalism is a great episode with a great cameo that I don't want to skip. So super excited for that. So that'll be the next episode. But just for fun, because I've been going through track and week over week, I wanted to get a bit into what aired on television 11 years ago, because I'm weird like that. So the last new episodes were December 10th. December 17th, NBC aired A Very Gilly Christmas, which had 7.8 million viewers, which is more than anyone ever watched this. I was aware of this as it aired. I didn't watch it because I was like, man, I hate Gilly. What a stupid SNL character. I didn't even know what it was. And actually, as I've gone back and looked and tried to figure out what the show was, I realized that I probably don't actually hate Gilly. I think I was just reading a lot of blogs that hated Gilly. And as I'm reading these old posts, I'm like, these are my opinions. Oh, I probably just formed my opinions from things I was reading on the internet. But one thing I get into a lot on this show is trying to find actors who were on all four shows. I've yet to find anyone who appeared on Community, Parks and Rec, The Office, and 30 Rock. I'm sure there's some background person somewhere, somehow, who was linked to all four of these shows. But I get super obsessive, and this is where I'm like Abed, about people showing up on the opposite show. So I always love calling it out. I'm like that meme of Leonardo DiCaprio in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, where he's pointing at the television.
I can't watch movies with people that aren't like IMDb people.
Yeah.
Like if you're not wondering where you saw that actor, like I don't want to watch a movie with you. Exactly. I need to know.
So we're going to get along fine. I think I traced back how this all started, and it came from, I know for a fact, it was season 3 of Community. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right. David Nahor. He played Todd on Community. He only had a few appearances in season 3, appears a lot at the end of the show, but he's just such a unique looking guy. And he had such a big role in Competitive Ecology was the episode. I had to go look these up. And then I actually went and watched all these episodes last night because I'm weird. But he was on Competitive Ecology. It aired October 6, 2011. A week later, he was on Modern Family Hit and Run October 12th. And I can remember watching it. I was like, man, that's Todd from Community. What the hell is he doing here? And then a month later, November 14th, How I Met Your Mother, tick, tick, tick. That's the one where, I don't know if you watched How I Met Your Mother, but it's...
Yeah, I did.
Ted and Marshall and Lily go to a concert and they get some sandwiches.
And then, Oh, yeah.
Todd's the goatee guy sitting next to them eating nachos. I was like, Todd's there again. And then I never watched it while it's there. I've only ever watched probably the first couple episodes. I rewatched it last night. But back, if you were a New Girl fan and watching that from the start, Todd is in the pilot. Apparently, he is in a few more episodes as well. Plays a douchebag, Friends of Schmidt, and that aired on September 20th. So this guy had like no credits, and then he's on four relatively large network sitcoms on three different networks within a 2 month span. So, I mean, I love seeing stuff like that. I'm always pointing it out.
I wish that he was Todd in every series. Like I wish in some way we could connect everything back to Todd. Todd is actually friends with Schmidt. Maybe.
If he wasn't such a douchebag, that's the most un-Todd he is in everything else. And everything else, he's like, yeah, this is Todd. So because IMDb is great and it has, you can join, like you can put in two shows and it'll tell you the crossover. I decided to do that for A Very Gilly Christmas in all four of these shows. Part of it is to explain A Very Gilly Christmas. If you have Peacock, apparently it's on there. It's just like, I thought it was like an entire 2 hour special about the character of Gilly. It's not. It's just the typical SNL clip show, like all the best Christmas clips that they put out every year. Mm. Just for a few years, they did it. It's Gilly and the teacher who's played by Will Forte. They kind of introduce all the segments. So it's got like all the classic SNL sketches, Steve Martin's Christmas Wish, which is one of my favorites. Alec Baldwin doing his Glengarry Glen Ross elf speech, Hanukkah song, Dick in a Box is in there. Jane Curtin doing the bag of glass sketch from the early 70s. Just a whole bunch. Sweaty Balls, I mean, which is probably one of the popular one. Yeah, super popular one. So a lot of people were on it. So I thought I'd get a lot more hits on how many overlaps there were. Community, I only found one, and it's Chevy Chase, not shockingly, just being on SNL for, actually, I think he was only on SNL for 1 year. And then Beth McCarthy Miller brought her up a lot. She's directed a Community, Parks and Rec. She directed a lot of 30 Rock. She was a director on SNL for years, so she directed a lot of that archive footage. The Office, again, it was kind of short. I only saw Will Ferrell, Stephen Colbert. And when you brought up Steve Carell earlier, Stephen Colbert and Steve Carell were the voices of the Ambiguously Gay Duo back in the 90s on SNL. If you've ever seen Ace and Gary. Yeah. So he's been around for a while, and I know he's on a couple other shows. So yeah, so Will Ferrell, Stephen Colbert, Seth Meyers are the overlaps for The Office. Parks and Rec, it gets a little bit deeper. Amy Poehler was in Gilly Christmas. I guess she's really only star of the show, but Andy Samberg, Fred Armisen, Will Forte, Rachel Dratch, Horatio Sanz, Yorma Taccone, they were all on Parks and Rec and in A Very Gilly Christmas. I guess Yorma's pretty big role in season 7. He's the guy that owned Grizzle. Mm. Beth McCarthy Miller's also overlap, but the game I want to play is, considering how many Saturday Night Live alumni show up on 30 Rock, how many actors do you think overlapped between A Very Gilly Christmas and 30 Rock? Just guess a number.
Ooh,
15.
Yeah, I want to say, I'd be surprised if it's 20, honestly. Like, give it 20.
You're both so damn close. 17. 17 people. So just looking at stars, somehow Tina Fey didn't make the list. But Alec Baldwin, obviously, sweaty balls. Tracy Morgan. I'm going to assume that's the I Wish It Was Christmas Today. Just talk about great moments. Some other, Rachel Dratch was on 30 Rock a lot. She's in it. Will Forte, big guest starring role. Jason Sudeikis, guest starring role. But then even just Will Ferrell, Robert De Niro, Kristen Wiig, Steve Martin, Andy Samberg, Fred Armisen, Amy Poehler, Molly Shannon, Horatio Sanz, Jan Hooks, Jimmy Fallon, Bobby Moynihan. And then there's even more credits afterwards. Lorne Michael is an executive producer on 30 Rock. Steve Higgins was a writer for SNL for years, and he's the guy that he hosts the homonyms game show. Oh. It's never
the other one.
Steve Whitmire, who I had to look up. He played Kermit the Frog. Yes. Thank you, Kermit Frog, for explaining to us the nature of death. Don Pardo, he was the announcer on Saturday Night Live for years. Beth McCarthy Miller shows up again, and then writer James Anderson also has a joint credit. So yeah, it was like, that was the first one I looked up, and the list was so long. I'm like, I don't want to look these all up. And then I looked up the other three shows. I'm like, all right, those are much shorter. Yeah. But yeah, so the way I was kind of looking at it, like, this was airing in the time slot of these four shows. Like, you think, you try to use it to promote, your sitcoms a little bit better because you're doing a poor job at it. And they didn't. So no wonder they didn't get great ratings. Mm. So that aired on December 17th. I'm going to keep my eyes open to see if they ever re-air it in the upcoming weeks. Because now I'm actually interested in seeing it. I did see one small clip on YouTube of a transition scene, and it is painfully unfunny. It's Kristen Wiig and Will Forte. And I was like, how are these two in something that is not funny? But anyways, I'd like to see it. The following week was December 24th. So they aired It's a Wonderful Life, a show that I can't figure out if any of these shows ever spoofed. I don't know. It's a dumb favorite of mine. I'll watch it. I usually watch it after my wife has fallen asleep on Christmas Eve, and it's on TV somewhere at like 2 o'clock in the morning. And it's like, yeah, I'm going to watch this till I fall asleep, even though it's 4 hours long. Yeah. I'm a sucker for it, man. I love Christmas movies, and even that overlong, overdramatic. Talk about shows that get you, like, it makes me cry. I'm not ashamed to admit it. The following week, December 31st, they had a mini 30 Rock marathon, and then they had New Year's Eve with Carson Daly. Sam, you said you found some photos of it.
I looked back on that, and because my mom had done a bus tour to New York one year to like be in Times Square for New Year's Eve. So I was trying to see if it was that one. I don't think it was, but I found like this huge thread of photos from the event, and there were like a weird amount of photos of Bill and Hillary Clinton. And it was just kind of eerie because, like, knowing what we do now about what's to come in Hillary's future, wish I could go back and just give her a warning. But also Green Day played, which I'm a huge Green Day fan, and it was a weird like lineup. It was a lot of Rihanna and Jay-Z and then Green Day.
That's weird.
But it's not the same Green Day that plays at Greendale. It's the other one.
For Green Week.
Yes.
For Green Day. yeah, it's, I never had brought it up. I almost used it for a news story one week because I was really stretching. But this was Empire State of Mind came out around this time frame, and then that song was just everywhere. So it would not surprise me that Jay-Z was at the New Year's Eve special.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then other than that, then the following week, January 7th, they reran Home Economics from Community, Ron and Tammy from Parks and Rec, Murder from The Office, and Into the Crevasse from 30 Rock. So
all great episodes.
Yeah, I think that's probably why they picked them, right? Like Home Economics and Ron and Tammy were the only two that aired the same night. The other two were kind of spread out. I think it was probably the four strongest shows of this season. Definitely, in going back and reviewing them again, other than, the Green Week episodes, like there were some good ones in there, and Halloween episodes as well. You probably don't want to play those in January, but I think they just picked probably the four strongest episodes. Only Into the Crevasse was the most watched episode of any of the respective seasons so far. So I think they just kind of went with what was good.
Some fan favorites.
Yeah.
Yep.
The only amount of fan service they ever did on this series. All right. Well,
this amazing, beautiful.
Hey, nobody cares. Nobody cares. I need that room at some point. So just wrap it up.
That's how I feel whenever I get to talk. He's like, yeah, nobody cares, Matt. Wrap it up. Get your podcast over. So I'll point out that when it comes to podcasting, you'll probably notice listening again to old episodes. I'll put in the ways to contact the show. And I do this, there's a method to my madness, because usually I don't think to email a show or reach out to them until I hear something really funny. And I was like, okay, I got to comment on this. And then I'm like, wait a minute, how do I get in touch with you? I don't want to go back and listen to six episodes. So I go and I put that in every episode. So if you want to contact the show, you can email comedynightpodcastedright@gmail.com. I'm on Instagram, kind of. Comedy Night Podcasted Right. Twitter is at Comedy Night Pod 1, because I didn't realize Twitter had length limits to names. And also, if you're on Reddit, like we all are, you can check out the subreddit at reddit.com/r/comedynightpodright. And I'm on there as user Comedy Night Podcast. So where the release schedule of this show is going to be a little bit weirder going forward, we're probably only going to do once a month. So if you follow us on Instagram or Twitter, or on check out the subreddit, I will give plenty of notice when new episodes are coming out. Or the thing that shows always ask you to do, subscribe, like, rate, review. I never actually say that stuff because I'm assuming this isn't the first podcast you listen to. I mean, if it is, great. There's more out there. You should probably try to listen to them. But I've been of the mind, you know what? People are going to subscribe if they want to subscribe. But if you haven't figured that out yet, try it. We're on whatever you're listening to this on. Again, I don't understand why people say, listen to us on Apple or Spotify or whatever. You're listening to us on something already. just stay Continue. Here. More episodes will come. Yeah. Anyway, I've always found it strange. I usually don't ask for it, but I figured why not in this very special episode to go for it. You can leave a review. You know, people say it helps with the algorithm. People have been saying that for years. I don't know if it does. Is there science behind it? Who knows? It took me so long to figure out how to actually get into the Apple account that I actually found we do have one 5-star review from March 16th, 2021. My apology to Denver Donkeys 1 #2 for not have reading your review sooner. But he said, love the mix. It's B from the DMP here. Now, DMP is the Dunder Mifflin podcast. This is someone I found through Instagram, or maybe I just found a show by searching Office Podcast. He goes by B because I'm pretty sure this was a podcast ran by 3 12-year-old boys who did not want to put their identities in public. You can still find their podcast. They did 3 episodes. They haven't updated since March. I hope they're doing fine. But B says, I love the show. All these shows were so historic, and it's awesome to get back into this headspace. Keep up the great work. Thanks, B. I'm sure you weren't even alive in 2010, but we appreciate the sentiment. So that's how you can get a hold of the show. Get a hold of me. Sam and Gus, is there anything you would like to plug?
Go for it, Sam.
You can follow me on Instagram at Sam_Thistle.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, you can follow me on my IG. It's kind of a long name, actually. Let me just pull it up here. It's Sanchez_Goose. That's my IG. And I'll have a podcast coming out with my cousin probably around January. We're just editing a couple episodes. It'll be Primos Primeros, which is just cousins first in Spanish. So yeah, just keep an eye on that sometime in January.
Awesome. We'll I'll get you guys to send me those and we'll put the links in the show notes. And you know, I had someone once ask, what are show notes? I'm like, it's a thing when you open up the podcast in the description. And yes, in the description of the podcast, there's a way you links to all of these things. Again, if this is the first podcast you've ever stumbled across, I am sorry. We're pretty good, but I mean, there's better ones out there. So that is it for this welcome back episode. I'm super excited to get started on the next phase of this show with my new co-hosts. I think we're going to have a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun today. The new episodes will be starting in January. So again, social media is the best way to find out about that. Or it'll just drop, you know, on your podcast app one day. That's all I wanted to talk about. Anything else from Gus and Sam before we call it a day?
No, it's been a pleasure. And it'll give me an excuse to rewatch my shows again, you know, especially Parks and Rec.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I look forward to tearing these shows apart way more than necessary. it's a really weird experience when you start watching the shows back to back rather than binging them in sequence. So, or I don't know, I'm just weird. Maybe. And maybe neither of you will have that same experience, but we're going to figure it out all together. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So until next time, this has been Comedy Night Podcast. Right.
Hey, Dummy.
Dennis.
I knew you'd be back.